Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We are in one of those state of flux shows today, which I like a great deal. Michael Lombardi with FS1 and Fox, NFL insider, NFL front office, former NFL league front office executive. He's going to be with us. There's been two major developments in the NFL in the last about 15 minutes. The Patriots make a trade, and Andre Johnson just retired. So I'm going to talk to Michael on what's going on as breaking news happens today. The NFL trade deadline is tomorrow. I have to believe the Cardinals are going to move Michael Floyd, right? So I'm going to talk to Michael about all that. Thing is, I don't know when he's going to call in. It's just we're going to get him. So that's on today's show. And we'll have Paula with us today. News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin will jump on board. So looking forward to that. It was a great sports weekend. It was just, I think this last weekend, because the World Series will be over by before next weekend, was probably the greatest weekend of sports for the year in Arizona. We like it when you can sit there at 6:30. Like, I actually did find myself watching a little bit of the Redskins and Bengals. Why, I have no idea. I don't know if it's just the train wreck that is what happens over the weekend around the NFL, and they play these games overseas, and there's just not a whole lot going on there. This was actually a competitive game. And then the Cardinals game turned out to be one of those that there's all sorts of stuff around the Cardinals to get to. And in the afternoon, I was more into watching the when you sleep with somebody who roots for a team, guys, you know this, you have to just kind of go along with the flow. So when it was Chargers, Broncos, I had to roll with that. And then, of course, the Sunday night, the World Series last night. So it was terrific. It was great. I think the point to start with, though, today is the Cardinals are 3-4-1 at the break. And it's been about as uneven a team as I've seen come out of Tempe in a long, long time. You know, they train in Tempe, so they're in Tempe to me today. Your Cardinals yesterday were once again a team that left everybody saying, what happened here? And there were parts of the game that I looked at yesterday and said, you know, the offensive line has become a sieve. We've seen this offensive line be a sieve in years past, but the last years it felt like they had started to turn the corner. We weren't watching Bobby Massey on roller skates anymore like we saw back in the Kevin Cobb days. There was protection around Carson Palmer, and they made big plays. At least that's what we saw last year. A lot of differences between the team that we're watching on the field this year and that of last year. And you can actually go back to last year's games where they had all these close ones. They were able to pull out, the sign of a good team. And the gambling that was made by Bruce Arians on certain calls and points of the game, they're able to fight through it and work through it. This year, they're not getting that. You could make the argument that, you know what, Brad, they're just a couple of bad special teams plays away from being able to be in a great position. But after watching yesterday, this is what we got. We have a team that's 3-4-1, but I will also tell you that they're in a division that at some point in time, someone's going to emerge. It's not going to be Seattle running away with everybody. This is not watching New England lap everybody. It's not. This is watching the Cardinals dink around after eight games and sit there with four losses, but yet they're still within striking distance. It's going to be one of those years where we're not going to like seeing 8-7-1. We're not going to like it, but that's probably what's going to end up winning this division, is something along those lines.
So I have an update from the guest update center.
Yeah,
I just wanted to let you know that Michael Lombardi has been pulled away to do a currently airing Fox Sports national show due to the breaking news.
Sure.
So he is going to be joining us around 10:45 or 10:50.
It's fine.
Later on the show.
It's fine. That's good.
Now back to your regularly scheduled program.
You know, here's the thing on this, right? You and I both know this, Eric. In this day where it's the day before the NFL trade deadline, there's already been two big pieces of news that have happened. Chances are pretty good in the next 40 minutes there's going to be like two more pieces. So I'm not going to say I'll believe it when I see it, because he's a great guest. But he's right in the middle of the news cycle.
Well, I'm confident that we're going to obtain his services.
Yeah,
because,
all right.
You know how it is. Like, I won't tell you we have the guest unless I know we have him.
Yeah, it's fine.
And I know we have him.
All right, so we're going to get
it. Stay tuned.
Let me ask you this, since you're there. Was this the great sports weekend of the year? Of the year? Of everything that happened? You were at a lousy TCU. Why you waste money to go watch your college? I have no clue. I have no idea. But
I didn't know in the summer that the Frogs would be 4-4.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You can't predict these things. Yes, it was. I do think it was a great sports weekend. Last night, I was sitting in the DFW airport, and there were just as many people in the sports bar paying $13 for watered-down beers, watching the Cowboys game, as there were watching the Cubs game. And everywhere around DFW, there are tons of Cubs fans. Who knew?
But you know this, the biggest bunch of bandwagon jumpers that are out there are the Cowboy fans. Now all of a sudden, they're the Cowboys. They've got it all figured out. All of a sudden, Jerry Jones is the smartest guy on the face of the planet. If they were smart, they'd trade Tony Romo today.
Yes.
They would.
Yes.
Let's not even debate that.
And Jerry Jones finally got it right after all these years. You need to have a really good offensive line to win football games. You need to go back to the old Dallas Cowboys, back when there was the Aikmans and the Emmetts and the Irvins.
Yeah.
And they had the great offensive line. Those teams won Super Bowls. They got away from that. Now they're back.
So did you watch? You didn't watch the Cardinals game, obviously.
I just saw highlights. Yeah. I read about
it. There weren't
many highlights. I saw that Carson Palmer got sacked 8 times.
He got sacked 8 times. He got hit 7 more. So you have to throw the hits in there, too. The bottom line is their offensive line's not good. And, Steve Keim is a stand-up guy. Steve Keim has got to stand there in front of people and say, I made a mistake on Michael Floyd. And right now I'd say he's made a mistake on DJ Humphreys. The jury's out. I know he's young, and you would think he's going to get better. But Jonathan Cooper didn't turn out to be a good first-round pick. Now, Steve parlayed that into Chandler Jones, which I think is going to be a terrific move, especially since New England's already dumped Jonathan Cooper. But yesterday, everybody's talking about the shovel pass, and yeah, it was a horrible call. The thing with the NFL is that it is so discouraging is fans are asked to invest their time and invest their passion and invest their heart and, most importantly, invest their money into tickets and gear and events. And all they want to see is things done correctly by the people that are supposed to oversee the game. And that goes back to the referees. The Cardinals didn't lose yesterday's game off that one play, but it just speaks to the quality of what's going on in the league now. The quality within the league is just not good. And I'm going to tell you, yeah, yesterday there were some great games. But the Raiders also had 23 penalties in yesterday's game. And yeah, they won. How do you sit through that? 23. And this is not me going on a rant about how bad the league is. The quality of play and officiating. If you're a Cardinal fan yesterday in the first quarter, you're like, come on, guys. The replay didn't work. So there's that play alone. Now, fans are starting to get after Bruce Arians. Fans are looking for somebody to hate on. When a team doesn't win, just so we're clear on this, fans are always going to try to find somebody to blame. Whether they're right or not doesn't matter. Whether being objective or not doesn't matter. And on this team, those people are Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer. And I would tell you Carson played well yesterday. But I do think that the facts are that at 3-4-1, a huge mountain to climb, but not insurmountable. I'm somewhat optimistic the way that this has gone this year, that they can find their way back in. Many times in yesterday's game early, I was like, this team blows. But to their credit, and I don't think it was Carolina taking their foot off the gas, to the Cardinals' credit, they hung in there, they stuck with it, and they were within striking distance late in the game. The interception by Carson Palmer late in the game to David Johnson leaking out of the backfield, poorly thrown ball, in my opinion. Okay, so it's not like I can sit here today and just throw dirt on them. Yeah, it's going to be a huge hill to climb because I don't see the wild card obviously coming out of the NFC West. If you look at where Minnesota and you look at where Green Bay and Atlanta and Dallas is now have to be part of the conversation, where Philadelphia is even after last night, and Seattle, okay, there's 6 teams right there that I think when you look at them, just the way they're playing this season, they're better. The Cardinals just feel like, you know, Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden, I love what's going on there. They weren't as effective yesterday. Up front, am I seeing consistent play? I think for the last 2 years, we've looked at Calais Campbell and say, is he going to push through? Tyrann Mathieu gets hurt yesterday. Patrick Peterson had a back that got tweaked. So those guys are having to fight through it, and they're not as deep as they once were. When I read or hear Bruce Arians or Steve Keim allude to, we're not seeing as much dedication out of some of the players. Okay, so has there been a problem that people have talked about with Rashad Johnson not being here on the back end of this defense this season? We can sit there and analyze all day long. Usually what happens in Phoenix is we're just going to move on to the next thing. We're not going to sit there and try to figure out why the team this year is one of the most disappointing in the entire National Football League. We're just not going to invest the time or the effort. We're just going to move on to the next thing, and we're going to start talking about the draft. Well, no, I don't do that. Do I think it's very fair to start looking at Carson Palmer? And here's the facts. 3-4-1, another year off the ticket for Carson. Yeah, he signed the extension. But Steve Keim should be out this coming weekend looking at Chad Kelly at Mississippi. Steve Keim should be out looking at the quarterback at Notre Dame. Steve Keim should be out looking at Deshaun Watson. Steve Keim should be looking at every quarterback that's out there for the next year or two. He should be looking closer at Jake Browning up in Washington. Yeah, a couple years away, but go look at these guys. Find these guys. Figure these guys out. I've been sitting here pounding my fist about develop somebody. And if this thing continues to spiral, okay, let's go to the other end of it. Let's say this is what we've got. And they come out of the bye and they just crap the bed. And they're sitting there at 3-7-1. You have to ask yourself, why in God's green earth would you continue to play Carson Palmer at some point as the season progresses? This is why I've sat here and hammered away on you guys have to develop somebody. The succession plan has to come into place. If they go through this season, and let's just say it doesn't go well these next 4 or 5 weeks, you've got to lighten the workload on David Johnson. You have to. Fantasy fans aside, you have to. You have to look at Larry Fitzgerald and say, is this how it's going to be going out? Suffered a foot injury yesterday, fought through it. As gutty and gritty a performance, because you could tell Fitz doesn't get hurt. And I'm watching him yesterday, and it was hard in the fourth quarter. So there's some very hard questions that sitting here right now doesn't look good. But I'm not saying that the season's over. I'm not saying you throw dirt on them. But I am saying that if we're sitting here a month from now and things are really bad, and it's obvious you're going nowhere, then the idea of having Drew Stanton getting snaps doesn't work for me.
Do you realize, Brad, after the Cardinals come back off their bye, they host the 49ers on November 13th. After they host the Niners, they only have two home games after November 13th.
That's it.
That's it. They're going to be on the road for 4 of their last 6 games.
Yeah.
2 trips back east, a trip to Seattle, a trip to L.A. to play the Rams, and we always, you know, who knows what's going to happen in that Rams game? Who knows? The Cardinals are usually the better team, but that really doesn't matter.
That's like New Year's.
Yeah, that's New Year's. It's New Year's Day.
But my point is, do you see where I'm at?
Uh-huh.
You gotta look at this, and this goes back to my sledgehammering on them as to why have you guys not taken the quarterback to develop? Why are you so in love with sitting here with the veteran guy? And Carson played well yesterday. But really, playing Carson Palmer in games in late December, if you're sitting here and you're out of it, what is the point of that? Running David Johnson into the ground in this day and age of concussion and wear and tear on bodies, what is the point in that? I'm not saying you hold him out.
Oh, and you saw what happened to DeMarco Murray 2 years ago when Dallas gave him the ball like 3,800 times
in
a year.
He got hit out of it.
And the next year, he was so ineffective. He's bounced back since.
He's had a good season. No,
he has.
That's right.
But it's always the year after for some of these running backs, regardless of how old or how young they are.
So it's going to be an interesting week in town. Like, to me, the Cardinals should trade Michael Floyd. They just should. Get it over with and get a pick for him. Let's be progressive here. J.J. Nelson yesterday had a nice game again, a great game. John Brown looks like he's back and he's healthy. You know, you've lost Jerron Brown for the season, but get something for Michael Floyd. He doesn't factor into your plans long term. He just doesn't. He is a miss as a first round pick. There's no other way to put it. It's a busy week ahead here in the Valley, and I'll explain that on the other side. Some good stuff, some stuff that I think is going to cause some angst and consternation. The World Series, obviously, from last night. Paula in about 10 minutes, Michael Lombardi later in the show. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
So I'm one of those that was watching the World Series over the weekend, watched all three games. And first of all, I came away with, boy, Cleveland fans have just got to be sick of Fox, just sick of hearing about the Cubs. But you have to understand that the Cubs story, it's the History Channel. It's been a train wreck. They are the battling, lovable Cubbies, and they never win. So you have to understand that. And yeah, it's one of the biggest television markets, and the ratings have been really, really good. It's good for baseball. Those people that sit here in our community and say, well, nobody cares about baseball, we're not going to talk about baseball, and we're not going to really pay attention to baseball, and, you know, the baseball. And then you see what's going on in Chicago, and my wife, and even in Cleveland. My wife and I look at each other and say, boy, it would be fun. Remember the good old days in Arizona when 1998, the first year, 99, they went to the postseason. In 2000, they were let down. And Buck goes, and then Brenly comes in, and then they go to win the World Series. And then the next year, they kind of fizzle, but they went anyways. And I was part of all that. And now you see what's happened since 2003, 2004, really, to today. And we're just kind of this outpost. Whereas in Chicago, they've stuck with it through thick and thin. Yeah, there's all the history. Yeah, it's part of the community. Yeah, they have this little ballpark and all that stuff. The managing of the game, I don't hear anybody bitching about length of games in postseason. Don't hear any of that. And in particular, I don't hear announcers bitching about length of games because I hear entirely too much of that from people as the regular season goes on. The only reason why you're bitching is because your team's not any good. You get paid to do it. Shut up. So Tom Hamilton and Pat Hughes on radio are terrific. They're some of the best, and that's what you want. You want to have guys that have passion and are into it every day, not guys that are mailing it in. So John Lester pitched well last night. Chris Bryant hits the home run. Having Aroldis Chapman come in. Eric, you know this on Aroldis Chapman. I was leading the Aroldis Chapman charge here in Arizona and got shouted down by domestic violence. Yes, he came out with a gun. And yes, he served his penance for that. I'm not sitting here advocating, saying every day we should have players like that on the team, but he paid his due, and now he's been brought back. And I'm not one of those guys that says a guy shot a gun off in the air in front of some small children. That's not right. That's not cool. That's not good. But is that a reason why you should say you'll never play again in a sport? Guy gets suspended, guy's done his time, now he's come back, he's pitched well. I don't see or hear anybody from the Cubs side of things saying, I don't like Aroldis Chapman. Four strikeouts in the save in 2 2/3 innings. There was great drama last night. To watch Joe Maddon and Terry Francona go against each other, tit for tat, and Francona's approach is, I'm managing for today. I am not managing about, well, what's going to happen in game six if you do this? What's going to happen in game seven? It's like Joe Maddon last night had to manage because if they lose, that's it. They're done. So if he's going to go down, he's going to go down with his best. It's like when Chapman got lit up by the Dodgers, they still stuck with him and they eliminated the Dodgers eventually. This has been a great World Series. The numbers have been very, very good. I'm pleased to hear that. I'm happy there's another game tomorrow night. I don't want this thing to end. I don't care if they're still playing baseball in November. Don't care. This is going to be a week, I believe, E, where we're going to be busy. I think we're going to be busy this week, Eric. The Diamondbacks are probably going to hire their manager this week. The World Series is going to be over by midweek.
We've been waiting, and it's okay. There's no rush. We've been waiting.
I've been gone. I was gone last week. So yep. Did Pedro have anything last week?
He basically said that if it's Torey Lovello, the Red Sox, I guess, bench coach, if he is the hire, then the new boss really is the new boss. If the hire is
Phil Nevin,
then Derek the new Cam. Boss really is the old boss or bosses.
That's a good way to put it.
So
that's a good way to put it. That makes sense.
It does.
I would be really stunned if they went that direction. That would have to be, hey, come here. Hey, come on in. Hey, while you're here, you really ought to consider this guy. No. Please get out of the room. We don't want your input. Go show up on opening day and at the end of the year. Don't want to hear, don't want to see anything other than the GM. That's it.
He was pretty adamant, he being Pedro, that situation could be something that might be pushing this decision back a little bit. Because, I mean, Hazen has been in place now for
But they usually don't make hires. In fairness, they usually don't make big hires during the World Series.
Gotcha. They don't want to take away
Series. And I don't know. They had it laid out where baseball said, do not make any moves.
That makes sense. Okay.
During World Series. That's why I think World Series happens. The announcement gets made later this week. This is a week, too, where I think there's got to be some real soul-searching going on over at Arizona State in Arizona. I'm going to talk to Paula about this in a bit because Paula was up in Eugene. And so I think that seeing what's going on with both football programs, all I know is by Saturday, I don't know, about end of the first quarter, I started getting DM'd and notes and texts and all that stuff from fans that were pissed. And they wanted Todd fired. And Todd's not going to get fired. If you look at my story I wrote about the layout, and the same thing happened with Rich on Saturday night. You know, I'm getting these U of A fans, and there's not a lot of U of A buzz, obviously. There's more passion from the ASU fans and the U of A fans towards their football programs. It's just a fact right now. No matter how hard U of A has been trying, they're getting better at it, but there's just not much there. So when you look at the two programs, the tackling for ASU is just atrocious. I mean, it's just horrible. And so they get crushed by Oregon and a true freshman quarterback who comes in and does his thing. The guy was not Marcus Mariota last time I checked. He wasn't Joe Harrington. It wasn't Bill Musgrave. Wasn't even Akili Smith. Do we have any other Oregon quarterbacks, E? Let me think. It's Akili Smith, Joey Harrington, Bill Musgrave.
You mean from the way back days?
Yeah, just who am I missing here? It's gone on and done well from Oregon. Mariota and Harrington were the guys.
Yeah. Vernon Adams. He was a good quarterback, but never made it in the NFL.
Not even Vernon Adams. That's a good one. It's a good one. So that caught my eye over the weekend, and I wrote about that. You can check it out over on sports360az.com. I think the playoff picture in college football is pretty vanilla this year. Like tomorrow, the first ratings are supposed to come out. And it's going to be Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Washington. It's going to be those four schools. I don't see Texas A&M getting in there right now.
And let's just cut to the chase now.
And Louisville.
We're in almost early November. Yeah. It's Bama and everyone else. I mean, it just, no offense to the Washingtons and no offense to the Michigans. And I know anything can happen. It's a single game elimination. But unless Bama beats Bama, I can't see any of those teams beating.
Now, we had Brock on a couple weeks ago, and I asked him directly about Washington beating Alabama, and he said, oh, yeah, Brad, they can beat Washington. Now, is that Brock with purple and gold in his
veins? They can beat
Bama,
you mean?
Yeah.
Okay, you said they could beat Washington.
Yeah, Washington can beat Bama.
Right.
Yeah, that's what Brock said. Now, is that Brock because he lives up there, he graduated from there, is he too much of a homer?
I don't think so, because he's pretty blunt.
He's objective.
Yes,
yeah.
He's pretty blunt about Seahawks and all things Seattle.
Now, we have a semifinal game here this year. Most people do not realize that. They just think that the Fiesta Bowl comes and goes. Based on what I saw over the weekend, and I'm projecting Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Washington, 1, 2, 3, 4. So one plays four in the Peach Bowl, which is in Atlanta. That would be Alabama against Washington on New Year's Eve. The other game would be Clemson and Michigan in Glendale.
Great game.
I think it's a great game.
Great game.
We'd have Harbaugh all week to talk to and talk about. Do you see Harbaugh at the World Series with a glove?
I did.
How great is that?
Pretty good.
It's just so we'd have Alabama, Washington, which I think would be interesting merely because Chris Peterson's doing a hell of a job up there, and it's something different. I do want something different. Now, let's just go through this. Let's say Washington loses to Washington State. So Washington's best win would be over Utah. So then let's say Texas A&M or Ohio State or Louisville would say, you have to be kidding me. Washington gets in over us? The Pac-12 title game right now looks like a complete waste of your time and my time. Washington against USC? Washington against Colorado? Washington against Utah? Does that interest anybody? I don't think it does.
I would like to see Sam Darnold go up against Washington's defense, because it seems like USC has sort of at least figured out things. I don't think they can.
He should have been the guy at the start of the year.
I don't think they can beat Washington, but it would be intriguing to see him move the ball with those skill players against that Washington defense, which is just sick.
Okay, so what happens in the Big Ten title game if Wisconsin beats Michigan? Now, and we're sitting here today, does the Big 12 have any dog in the fight on October 31st? The answer is no.
No.
No. So, you mean, you look at these conferences and the way that this playoff is shaping up.
The Big 12 is right on par with the American Athletic Conference this year. And I'm not even kidding you when you look at the teams.
No, that's true.
That's the reality of the situation.
It's true. But you know, I look at this, at what's going on, and Washington is going to get crushed by anybody west of Seattle or anybody east of Seattle. There's only water west of Seattle. They're going to get crushed by anybody east of Seattle because the Pac-12 this year, yeah, they're all beating up on each other. I get it. U of A took Washington to overtime. U of A is winless in conference play. And I had Rich on last week, and we talked about that. It was a great accomplishment by Rich. But, man, you saw how U of A got boat raced by Stanford. That wasn't even a game. It wasn't even close. So I'm really interested this week in the playoff picture, too. I think there's going to be a lot of debate, a lot of angst nationally over what's going on. But here in our state, fans are after Todd Graham, and they're after Rich Rodriguez. And I don't see a move coming on either one because of the buyout, unless both of them, one of them said, you know what, I'm going to go chase this job. Rich Rod chased South Carolina last year. Rich Rod kicked the tires on Louisville a couple of years ago, if you remember correctly. I can't imagine, though, Ray Anderson being a football guy, standing there in the tunnel and watching all of the missed tackles, I mean all of them against Oregon, is happy with Todd. I can't imagine that. Yeah, the quarterback has been hurt this year. Yeah, they didn't have DeMario Richard the other night. Yeah, they started, two redshirt freshmen and a walk-on on the offensive line. But here's some breaking news for you. Everybody has injuries. Rich Rod's situation is just as bad. It is. Paula's next. She was there in Oregon. We'll talk to her on the college front. That's on the other side, and some local things, too, with the Cardinals and much more. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist. She was in Eugene, Oregon. My understanding of Eugene, Oregon during a game is they have some of the most rude people that work within the press box, within the media assistance team.
No, they're the best. They're the best.
For those that may not know this, you have a daughter who is at University of Oregon. That doesn't mean she writes positive things about the University of Oregon, you nitwits that get on her case. but your daughter, she was working there Saturday, correct?
Yeah, she is. So she's interning with the athletic department, and so was handing out stats to me in the press box. It was pretty funny.
So she's handing stats to you, and the stats that she's handing to you just were growing by the minute with the Oregon offensive statistics, correct?
Yeah. There were, depending on how you look at them, there are some gaudy numbers or some
gruesome.
Awful.
Yeah, gruesome both. Numbers. Yeah. We have some video we want to roll in over the top of this of just how bad was it on Saturday. So let's just go through it from your view. How bad was it on Saturday for ASU?
It was bad. I mean, it was as bad as I think I've seen that defense look, and they've looked pretty bad this season. It was, I guess, what you call a toxic combination of a lot of injuries and not being very good to begin with, not having good depth, and just not recruiting well at that position. But, and just even for the untrained eye, you could tell that there was an issue with players not communicating. It was completely players out of position, guys wide open on Oregon, missed tackles, just a whole lot of position thing. It was pretty bad, Brett.
I just have a really hard time with people wanting me to believe that the defense is better than it was last year, because they'll say, well, look at the run defense. I don't know. Outside of UCLA, the teams that they played so far this year, they all pass. They all throw. So please don't tell me, yeah, well, we do have a run defense that's coming together. That doesn't fit. Like, I don't hear somebody just saying, we're not good. We don't know why. We shouldn't be in this position. I don't hear any of that, Paula.
You know, that explanation of a good run defense was okay when you're 5-1, but when you're getting beat up on the road like they are, and now suddenly, I mean, it looks like they're going to be battling UA for that game could mean if they get, you know, that territorial cup could mean if they get into a bowl game or not. That kind of excuse doesn't fly anymore, and they need to sort of answer for what's wrong with the defense. Be transparent. I know, I didn't believe me, the injury thing is over-the-top crazy. They've had a ton of them. But there was a problem even before the injury started. And so, you know, there are a lot of people, I'm getting a lot of emails about Steve Patterson, about it's time to get rid of the defensive coordinator. When I talked to people at ASU, a lot more of them said that Patterson's not the problem, it's the personnel, and they just made some recruiting mistakes in that regard. So there's some just tough decisions I think that ASU needs to reflect upon here in the next couple weeks.
You and I both know this, that come the first Wednesday of February, we're going to have Todd standing in front of us, and they're going to have a really nice event, and he's going to say, we couldn't believe we got this kid, and we got him over so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. We're going to hear all that stuff, because we hear it every year. Every year we hear that. And every year it's, wow, this five-star kid and this four-star. And I think that in the last couple of years, I've sensed that more and more fans are not as caught up in that as we might believe in our industry. And that stuff just doesn't sell as much as it used to. The walk-on is making it in the NFL. The walk-on is making it as a starter at places. So when I hear this, well, we had to put a walk-on out there. Yeah, well, that's because you missed on all these other kids. Please be accountable. Overstating this?
Adam Archuleta was a walk-on.
Yep.
You know, yep. Played defense. He played in the NFL.
Pat Tillman wasn't highly recruited. We all know that story. So.
Yeah. So you're right. I mean, it's not about if it's a five-star, although a lot of times the five-stars are the guys that turn out to be good. It's finding the talent. I don't know if he's a five-star or if he's a one-star or if he's a walk-on, but it's identifying talent, and it's turning them into good players. Now, you obviously need a certain amount of athleticism to become a good player, but it's up to those coaches when they're recruiting to find the right guys and to be able to mold them into something. And for whatever reason, I don't think that's happened here in the past few years with ASU.
Okay, I'm going to let you go here in a minute. You're a little muddy, but I am curious from this standpoint. Dylan Sterling Cole, Bryce Perkins, I mean, I'm going to throw all the quarterbacks that have been out on the field this year. Is there a big difference between Manny Wilkins and Brady White and Dylan Sterling Cole and Bryce Perkins and Ryan Kelly coming in? I mean, they've got a real – it's a good problem on one hand. The other problem is I don't see a clear-cut guy here for the future.
Yeah, I think it's a good problem. I mean, you know, I think part of the clear-cut guy is we're seeing them only in doses. So, yeah, Sterling Cole has a strong, strong arm, but can he be accurate and make right decisions? And, you know, Manny Wilkins can extend plays with his legs, but can he be an accurate passer? I think they all have question marks, and they all have yet to be answered, because I think we're only seeing limited sample sizes. And I'm not seeing them enough in practice. One, they're not there very much, but two, because we're not allowed to watch them for the most part to know really who is shining, but I think the quarterback position is not a concern. In fact, I think it's a strength, Brett. I think they'll resolve that by next year because there's so much talent competing. I think
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time as always. Thanks.
Okay.
See ya. There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. I want to talk to her about Todd a little bit further. I'll have to come next week because Michael Lombardi is on set. He's had a busy breaking news morning. We're going to try to catch up with him in the next segment. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Also on the other side, you have one job to do. You have just one job to do. And there's a couple pictures that showed guys that just didn't know how to do their one job. Of that for you in the sports scene as we move on. All right, so Michael Lombardi with FS1 is going to join us here in a minute. It's been a busy breaking news morning. It's just one of those shows where we just kind of balance it. And when he gets off the set, I think he's over with Colin right now doing his thing. There's been a big deal already this morning with New England. Andre Johnson retired. And then Jared Valdir, Adam Schefter just tweeted that Jared Valdir is going to have shoulder surgery. So that's a big blow to the Cardinals, obviously. With their offensive line, it's just been the way that the season has gone for them. And so they end up losing him off the top, and that's not good. So we're going to get into that as the show progresses. The Suns yesterday, they lost to Golden State 106-100. It's so busy that you don't even realize that the Warriors are in town, and Kevin Durant had 37, and they ended up losing that one. So they're 0-3. They play at the Clippers tonight. So those are the things going on here locally. I want to turn our attention, though, over to the Cardinals. And we're going to talk now with Michael Lombardi, FS1. The Cardinals off to a 3-4-1 start. Former NFL league office, former front office executive. And he's been on over at FS1 with Skip and Shannon at Undisputed. And over on The Herd with Colin Cowherd. So Michael Lombardi in a busy day. The Cardinals losing Jared Valdir, needing surgery, partially torn tricep. He's had surgery before and he's missed 10 weeks. So the Cardinals are in the news cycle. Will Michael Floyd get traded or not by tomorrow? The Cardinals sitting there at 3-4-1. And Michael Lombardi joins us live for a couple of moments right there on the set at FS1. Michael, it's Brad Sussmat. Busy morning. Thanks for coming on with us.
No worries. Good to be here.
Let's start with the news of the day that you're working on, and that is New England makes a big deal and Andre Johnson retires. Let's talk about the two moves this morning, Michael.
Well, I think the Jamie Collins was really a reaction to how poorly they played in terms of the Patriots' defense. And Jamie's going to be a free agent at the end of the season, and they need to really send a message to their team about how they're playing defensively. And I think this is kind of was really the best way to do that. I mean, you're either coaching it or allowing it to happen. And I think what happened with the Patriots was Jamie wasn't playing well and they weren't going to keep allowing it to happen. And Andre Johnson with a great career, you know, he signed a contract in Indianapolis last year, kind of towards the downward spiral of his career. And I think at Tennessee, it's been a struggle for him. And I think he goes out and, but a great player and a tremendous, one of the rare athletes I've ever seen in terms of size and speed, be able to play for what he did all those years in Houston.
In addition to Collins, let's circle back over. Chandler Jones obviously is out here in Arizona. It's pretty rare that you see two trades of the same, you know, on the defensive side of the football out of any team within a span of 6 months, right?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, they had a lot of guys going to be free agents. I mean, still Malcolm Butler is going to be a free agent. Jabal Sheard is going to be a free agent. Dante Hightower is going to be a free agent. You know, so you can only sign so many guys. And I think you've got to turn your assets and keep moving. And I think this is what happened in New England. I mean, Chandler was a wonderful player. And to be able to get a second-round pick, a starting guard, essentially, and you know, they traded down and got Joe Tooney with that pick. And I think that they, you know, you need to keep moving. You can't sign everybody. You can't pay everybody. Not everybody can make all the money. And I think when you get a chance to trade and keep perpetuating the value of what you have, I think you need to do that.
Talking with FS1's Michael Lombardi, former NFL league front office executive, part of the NFL on Fox. He joins us here with Brad Sussmat. Michael, what do you make out of 3-4-1 in Arizona as they come into the bye week? What do you make out of the Cardinals?
Well, I thought, you know, the reaction to losing to the Patriots was a little alarming. I mean, I thought that it's a long season, and I think what happens is when you get as close as they did last year, there's a sense of the expectations, and you put a lot of pressure on it. And I think that, you know, it's been a difficult season, but I think I think sometimes they're putting some pressure on themselves that they shouldn't. I think they just need to kind of get back to what they do. I think Carson Palmer, you know, the year he had last year was probably an abnormal year in his total career. I mean, it was sensational. It was the second best year he's ever had in his career. And I think when you look over the long term, I think his numbers have kind of come back to where he's typically played. Now, that being said, other guys have got to pick up the slack. And I think that, you know, sometimes the schedule gets harder. It's a little tougher to win games. Teams are more prepared to play you. But, you know, there's still the second half of the season, and I think they have a very good roster. I think they've done a good job of building a football team, and I think Bruce Arians is an outstanding coach. I just think they need to kind of get some consistency on both sides of the football and get going and not be so pressing to try to win games, because I think what's happened to them is they're looking at the end of the season instead of looking at the game in front of them.
That's really interesting. Do you think that pressure comes from ownership with the expectations being so high, and that maybe the Bidwells over here are feeling like, look, this is a team that should be Super Bowl bound, and there was so much made in the offseason that it impacted this team all the way down?
I don't think it's from ownership as much. I mean, we all put it, you know, I haven't been there before. We all put the pressure on ourselves. And when you get close and you haven't really, you're almost there and you feel like, God, we just go back there. And again, and I think what you have to almost do is break yourself down and basically start anew and not even talk about the Super Bowl and not talk about the playoffs and just talk about the next game. And I think that's what they've lost their focus a little bit. How can we win the next game and just worry about winning the next game? And look, you know, we wouldn't be having this conversation if the kickers made two kicks, you know, the one against New England and the one against the Seattle at home. So, you know, there would be two more wins in the column, and this probably whole conversation would be different. But that being said, it's not. You know, you are what you are, and right. I think you have to kind of just figure it out and work your way through it.
They lose Valdir today. He's going to need surgery, partially torn triceps. There's been a lot blowing around about Michael Floyd and perhaps being traded by the deadline tomorrow. Talk about both those players over here and from your view, Michael.
Well, I think that's the Valdir injury is a tough one. I mean, now they move DJ Humphreys over to left tackle, which is where he played in college. You know, now they've got to find another, you know, right tackle. And I just think, to me, one of the areas of weakness have been the offensive line, been able to stay healthy with the offensive line all season. Evan Mathis got hurt. They've had to play backups all through. And, you know, it's hard to find left tackles in football. They just don't walk down the street. When you lose one, like the Patriots lost Nate Solder last year, they're hard to replace and hard to find. So, you know, that's an injury that's very difficult to overcome. Can they do it? Yes. Will they have to alter their scheme? Yes. Then it's hard to get five guys out in the route when you're worried about your left tackle. So I think that's the situation. And look, Michael Floyd will be a free agent at the end of the year. If they get the right offer like New England and they feel like it can improve their team today and tomorrow, they should do something. But I think for the most part, you know, typically teams don't like to trade for receivers. Now, maybe Philadelphia will make them an offer because Philly needs a receiver badly and they'll take the risk of trying to re-sign them. I'm not sure of that. But I think that it's got to be the deal that makes the most sense for the Arizona Cardinals today and tomorrow before they would trade Michael Floyd.
A couple other questions with Michael Lombardi, FS1. NFC West, it's saving grace that Seattle lost at New Orleans. At 3-4-1, the Cardinals aren't dead yet, or are they, from your view?
Oh, I don't think they're dead yet at all. I think they just got to play the next game. I think, look, it's not how you start. October, September games kind of define who you are as a team. Mm-hmm. November and December games define who you are as a playoff team. And I think that's the approach they've got to take. They start the slate all over again, and they just got to take it one game at a time and get back to doing and build on things that they do really well. And they're going to have to overcome injuries now. With the Valdir injury, I can't emphasize how hard it is to overcome your left tackle. You get a guy that you trust the blind side of the quarterback, and I think when you look at teams that fall apart, it usually happens with the offensive line, and I think that's the one area the Cardinals just don't have a lot of depth right now.
One last question, and that is, and this may be a little too forward, but the NFL draft and quarterbacks. For the last few years, the Cardinals have resisted using a high pick, Carson getting up there in age. Yeah, they just extended him, but at some point, is this the year that you are hearing that there's a deluge of quarterback prospects that are impact players down the road, Michael?
Well, I don't know about that. I think it's always hard to find impact quarterbacks in the college game. I mean, look, with the Blake Bortles draft, there were three quarterbacks taken in the first round, Manziel, Blake Bortles, and Teddy Bridgewater. And I think the two best quarterbacks of that draft are Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo. So I think it's all about the system and the player. And I think Bruce Arians does a really good job in this area. And I think Bill Walsh once said, Very few people can evaluate the quarterback, and even fewer can coach him. And I think that the Cardinals are fortunate to have a coach that can coach the quarterback and evaluate him. And I think that really is the best recipe for finding your next quarterback, is getting somebody that fits within the system and you can develop his skills within the system.
So go for a veteran, perhaps, rather than the rookie.
Well, I think you go for the best guy that can fit in your system, and I think you got to develop a rookie. Obviously, they tried with Logan Thomas. That didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But I think you're going to have to try and develop one.
Appreciate the time, Michael. I know it's busy for you. Thanks.
Thanks, guys.
Michael Lombardi there, right on the set at FS1. Appreciate his time and his insight. NFL on Fox. Good stuff there. Before we get out of here, there's a couple picks that I want to roll in. So Eric Bledsoe is playing yesterday for the Suns. The Suns are playing Golden State. It's Eric Bledsoe at home, and they can't get his name spelled right. You have one job to do. It's Bledsoe, not Bledsoe. One job. That's all. Then we have, maybe it's the same guy. Let's go to Cleveland. We have another picture from yesterday that caught my eye. It's the dog pound. You have one job to do. Not dog, not GPO, dog, N-U-N-D. You have one job to do. Can it be that hard to screw up two things? Maybe it was the same guy. I don't know. B-L-E, dog pound. Just simple stuff that caught my eye. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that you can check out at Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric, high school, college, pro. Pro college, high school makes no difference to us. If you just found us through our partnership with AZ Central Sports, appreciate that. We're here day in and day out. We tape the show live at 10 a.m. Repeats for the next 24 hours. We have a TV show over on Fox Sports Arizona. We have partnerships all around the valley, around the state. We're statewide. Thanks for being with us.